31. Psalms 31. I love the Psalms. I just love the Psalms. You could just preach out of the Psalms all the time. They're so relevant. You know, this world doesn't offer any hope at all. This world don't offer anything at all. We come into this world, we got big dreams and big plans. But the world don't offer a thing. We're going to talk about it today. Psalms 31:24. Be of good courage. You get discouraged, don't you? Life gets hard, doesn't it? Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord. Listen to that verse, folks. All ye that hope in the Lord. Are you hoping in the Lord? He didn't say if you hope in the world, did he? Amen? Now look over in chapter 33, Psalm 33, a couple of psalms over. We use one other verse. I could have picked out a dozen or more verses about hope. But in Psalm 33:18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Do you hope the Lord will be with you? You hope the Lord will bless you? You hope the Lord will make a way? He will, but the world won't. The world won't, folks. And everybody today just about's looking for this world, what it can give them. Isn't that right? Yeah, we're going to talk about it a little bit together. The Lord allow us. What does this world really have to offer anybody? Really, now stop and think about it. Every day we hear of trouble and sorrow, either near or far away. People are hurting. You heard about anybody hurting lately? People mistreated. People dying. And we're all helpless to do anything about it. Think about that. Yet like a rushing train down its tracks, we see people deceiving people, taking advantage of people, using people just to make life better for themselves for a while. Isn't that the way it is? Same old world has always been like that ever since Adam and Eve messed up. Now just think about this. Some of y'all had experience with this, but just listen. Just go to any office of any business, and in that office, you will find someone who is conniving and plotting on how they can get a better position than the other people in the office. I'll guarantee you there's one in there like that. Amen. Kim's got a big smile on that one. See, I've been there. And this is true of men or women. There's always one of them like that. So I'm not putting it on you women, although women usually in the office. There's men like that too. The question is, why is this? Why are they like that? The answer is they're selfish. They're greedy. They feel more deserving, more important. And they're determined to sugarcoat the boss to get what they want, no matter who they hurt or take advantage of. I'm telling y'all the truth. This is what the world offers. This is the world system. Now you go over to the book of Revelation, and the Lord says, I'm going to get rid of the world situation. I'm going to destroy it one day. Look at history of this world. It's filled with wars and hate, cruelty towards other people. People want what they got. Why? Because their hope is upon worldly possessions, power, status. They're giving no thought to the future because their only concern is, I want it now. I ought to have it now. I don't care who it hurts, just so I got it. That's the world's way. Many others in the world are taking another approach to life, though. More and more people are losing hope. People everywhere losing hope. We're going to see more and more of that in the coming days. People losing hope. You know what they're doing? Committing suicide. They don't have any hope. Life's so hard. They just give up instead of look up. Our soldiers, many of them are coming home discouraged and seemingly without hope and taking their lives. Young people are bad for this. They get discouraged or something, broken homes, drugs. They take their lives. They don't see any hope. They don't have any hope. People who have no hope, they don't see any point of living anymore. Life is so hard and so miserable. They don't see any reason to go on living. That's sad, isn't it? That's the world way. That's the way of the world. Living without hope. Yet this old book here promises hope. A real hope. A real hope. There are countless others who are on drugs and alcohol, who are just dulling their minds as they live in a stupor trying to make it in life. Let me tell you something. Life is hard. Life is hard. Life is a struggle. There's no question about it. But life can have meaning and purpose. It really can. God gave us His Word. One of the problems that's happened in our world is people have neglected this Word. Moms and dads have not taught it to their children. Moms and dads haven't set example. But God gave us His Word to advise us and to inform us of His great love for all of us. With all the struggles and the hardships of life, there is a God that loves everybody. and he don't have favorites. That's interesting, isn't it? In some families, there's favorites, but God don't have favorites. He's no respecter of persons. How is your life today? You look at me and you're smiling, maybe. But how are you really down here today? How is it with you down here today? I know some of you are struggling. Lost loved ones. Caring for someone you love who don't even care for themselves. See, we got this box down here full of names of people we care about. They don't even care about their real self. Maybe you're in an office with a situation where you're overloaded with work and job pressure. Maybe you got that problem today. With some, it seems as if no one cares about you. I want to share with all of you today, there is someone who cares for you and who understands all you're going through. There's someone that cares. It's not a put-on care. It's not just mouth to care. God cares. God really cares. Our Sunday school lesson day was, I didn't know it was going to go as I started working on this message first of the week. I didn't know we were going to have Romans 8 today, but I'm glad we did. Because God cares. And sometimes in all of our struggles and hardships, and we pray and we pray and we pray, and it seems like it don't get above the ceiling. But our Sunday school lesson told us different, didn't it? God is forming us, developing us, testing us to make us better. Because he loves us. He wants us to be better. He wants us to be disciplined people. Did you hear what I just said? Disciplined people. That's one thing about the army. You go in the army or the services, boy, they demand discipline. At our home, there was discipline. You know, at our home, at mealtime, everybody got at the table at the same time. Everybody. And we didn't have cell phones either at the table, amen? And when everybody got to the table, my daddy graced the food. Always. How many homes is doing that today? See, we've lost touch with what we need to be in touch with. Somebody might say today, with all my struggles and problems and the way I'm hurt, why don't God help me? I pray and I pray, why don't God help me? Well, that's over my pay grade. God knows what he's doing. What you're supposed to be doing is keep praying. You're supposed to keep trusting. You're still supposed to keep serving the Lord. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what this book's about. You think about Job. I didn't intend to say this, but Job, look what happened to Job in the Bible. You know his story. But what did Job say? He lost all of his 10 children. That's the key. He lost all of his herds and flocks. He lost most of his servants. His wife said, "Why don't you curse God and die? And what did Job say? "Though God slay me, I'll still trust him." Folks, we got to get there. We got to get to the point as individuals and as church people and as God's people that no matter how rough life is, I'm still trusting God, and that means I'm living for God. I heard about a feller who supposedly got saved, but life got hard on him. And after a while, he just quit. Quit going to church. Quit trying to be a Christian. Someone asked him why. He said, "Well, it didn't work." You know, people want to use God the way they want to use God. Amen. Hey, it's God running the show, not us, folks. It's God running the show, not us. God's not going to put more on us than we can bear. That's his promise. We must trust him. That's the key. You got to know God is God and God loves you and you can trust him. This is what the Christian life is about. Listen, we're to trust God. That's how you're saved. You can't be saved no other way. You can't serve God no other way than to trust him, folks. Amen. You got to trust him. No matter how hard it gets, you got to keep trusting the Lord because he's in control. Amen. He knows what he's doing. Sometimes I don't know what I'm doing, but God knows. God knows. I didn't say it's easy. I said we got to keep trusting the Lord. I cry to the Lord. I cry to the Lord. I cry to the Lord. But he don't change things. I'm going to tell you a little instant. My brother back there, he got down where he couldn't hardly go. We had him at the altar. We anointed him. And he suddenly got a lot better. But I keep praying about my situation and don't get no better. Why? I don't know. But I'm keep trusting the Lord. I keep trusting the Lord. He knows what he's doing. Serving the Lord is not easy. God needs you to do what you're doing, even if life's unbearable, Miss Mary. I cry for that woman every day because I know what she's doing. But God don't change it. Keep trusting, Miss Mary. We love you. Keep trusting. You know, there's a slogan the Marines have. We need a few good men. God needed a good woman to look after somebody. That's just one case. That's just one case. There's another slogan. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. You a Christian? You've been saved? Life's hard? Keep going. Keep going. Just keep going. Our God is God. And you can trust him. You can trust him. Don't give up on him. Keep trusting him. This world ain't going to give you anything but trouble. Trials and hardships. But God's Hey, God's told you, while you trust him, you're laying up treasures in heaven that nobody's going to steal. Paul said in Galatians 6:9, you ought to mark this in your Bible. Oh, let us not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season, listen to this. Listen to this, church. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Life gets so hard. Life gets difficult. Life gets discouraging. But Paul said in God's word that don't be weary in doing good, because after a while, you're going to reap. Amen. We're going to reap after a while. Amen. I planted a little garden this year. You know what? Every morning I get up and go look at that garden. There ain't a thing out there to eat yet. Amen. But you know, I'll keep waiting. After a while, Lord willing, if he'll send me some rain, amen, Lord, we're going to be getting some butter beans, amen, and some pepper and tomatoes, and them watermelons is looking good now. In Galatians 6:9, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. If we look back through our Bibles, we will find so many of God's people facing frightening hardships. Just thumb through your Bible sometime and look at what people have had to deal with in their lives. God's people, I'm talking about. Think of the three Hebrew boys who defied the king, and what happened to them? They were took and threw in a fiery furnace, folks. I remember growing up, we had an old barn. It had a big furnace in it where you put logs in it to cure the backer. You'd open up that door on that big furnace and put a log in there. That big old fire in there just a roaring away, you know. I can imagine that as a scene where the three Hebrew boys threw in a big furnace to be burnt up. But they didn't burn up. The Lord preserved them, amen. Think of Daniel, who refused to stop praying when he was ordered to. As a result, he was thrown into a den of hungry lions. I tell you what, a lion looks pretty bad when there's nothing between you and him, amen, and he's hungry. Think of Joseph as a young teenager who was sold into slavery by his own brothers. Oh, then there are many others who endured great persecutions and hardships because they served God. Because they served God. Because they were Christians. That's going to be true of you too. And me too. You think the devil's not going to be on your case? Because you forsook him? Well, of course he's going to be after you. And me. He's a busy feller. But you got to keep trusting the Lord. You got to keep living by faith. You got to keep believing this old book, folks. I don't mean to disappoint any of you for the hardships any of you may be enduring, but I'm afraid it might be getting worse before we're taken out of this world. You might think it's bad now. There ain't no telling what you're going to face in the future. Because this world is going down fast. I think we got the snowball effect now. But don't give up, because we might soon be going up. Amen. Amen. Would that be something? Wouldn't it be something we would? Hey there, we're going up. We just go together. Life as we have known in this country is coming to an end very quickly. The vast majority of people in this country have rejected God and His Son. That's a truth. That's a truth. Every prediction I can find by people that knows what they're talking about, there is very, very few Christians anymore. It's religion, if there's anything. It's religion. That's frightening, isn't it? That so many people are lost. Let me shift gears a minute here. Let me shift gears. Let's get our mind off what others are doing and get our mind on what Jesus said. First of all, to born-again believers, Jesus said in Hebrews 13:6, "For He has said, I will never leave you or forsake you." Remember that. You're a Christian person. You're a believer in Jesus Christ. No matter how dark that your days get, how hard your days get, the Lord is right there with you all the time. The devil wants us to forget that. But that's the truth. God says, I won't ever forsake you. I won't ever leave you. How's that for hope? How's that for hope when you got to go to the job tomorrow? When somebody is plotting against you, taking advantage of you, putting more on you than you can bear, Jesus said, I'm with you. I know what's going on. He understands. He cares. Isaiah 43, verse 2. This is good scripture. It wouldn't hurt to mark this in your Bible. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, Isaiah said. God says, listen, when life really gets real hard, don't despair. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'll make a way with you. The truth is this, church. Listen to me carefully, church. God calls some Christians to have to bear more than other Christians. And that's His choice. I don't know why. He chose His apostles to be all martyred in a horrible way. He don't choose all His Christians to be done that way. But whatever God calls for your life, just keep trusting Him. He's put you where you're at, to serve Him where you're at, to be a Christian where you're at. You can put your hope in Him. Don't put your hope in the world. Don't expect nothing from the world. Put your hope in the Lord. In Matthew 18:20, for where two or three are gathered together in My name, we're here in the name of Jesus today, folks. That's the only reason we're here today. We're here for in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, wherever you're gathered together in My name, I'm in the midst of you. Amen. He's right here with us. In 1 Peter, listen to this, folks. 1 Peter 5:6-7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Don't be high-minded. Be a humble person. After all, what have you got? Everything you got belongs to the Lord. Amen. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. There's a certain time God's going to exalt us. Before that time, walk humbly before the Lord. Walk humbly before the Lord. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 17. In the study of prophecy, the study of prophecy gives us hope because it tells us of God's future plan. We know what God's got coming down the road to a great deal of what we already know because this whole book tells us. When you study prophecy, you know that there's going to be a rapture of the church. That means there's a certain day that only the Lord God knows he's going to suddenly snatch his church out. We know that's going to happen. And we also know this. It's the next thing on his calendar. That's the next thing. We don't know today, but we believe very surely we're in the season when that could happen. Because as we study prophecy, we see how the nations of the world are lining up, how God said that Israel would be brought to her back to her land, and we know all that's going on with Israel, how everything is developed there. And we know they're talking very much about building that temple. They already got the priest's outfits made. They got utensils made. And about everything is set now. And it could happen shortly at any point. Folks, prophecy tells us this thing. And there's a tribulation thing going to come. And so forth and so on. We know prophecy is telling us all this. So we can trust the Lord to bring it about at any time. There's been many prophecies fulfilled. And we know they've been fulfilled. We read about them. We know about them. Prophecies about the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That when he would come and what he would accomplish when he came. And he did those things. One day we're going about our activities and suddenly we're going to be gone. That's a promise that's going to happen. God said it's going to happen. Things are not going to keep going on like they're going on. And our life's going to be dramatically changed forever. And this hope we have had is suddenly going to be realized. Philippians 3:21, what a great scripture. Who shall change our vile body? Our body is going to be changed. There's not going to be any more aches and pains. Amen. There ain't going to be no gray hairs. Amen? No more going to the dentist and to the doctor. Amen? He's going to change our vile body that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Think about getting a body like the body of Christ. It won't ever wear out. According to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself, Paul said in Philippians 3:21. This is our blessed hope. That's what we're looking for, the blessed hope. When our bodies is changed and we're caught up to be with the Lord, it's going to happen and could happen at any moment. At any moment. This is not something we think will happen. We know it's going to happen because the Bible says it's going to happen. And we believe it. Amen? Amen. We'll find ourselves in the most loving environment and better than we can even imagine. You can't even begin to imagine what a loving environment you're going to suddenly be in one day. You cannot picture. You even in this life here, you can have moments where you can feel so loved. Hey, listen. That's not even a blemish of what it's going to be in heaven, folks. Well, we're in a loving environment. And we're going to see the most wonderful people. Listen to me this morning. We're going to see the most wonderful people, and there won't be no pushing and shoving to get ahead. Amen. There'll be no one there to take advantage of you. Amen. There'll be no one there imposing upon you something they didn't want to do. How about like that? There will not be anything in the presence of the Lord that you don't like. And you won't be giving him any advice either. Amen. If there's anything that may bug us when we get to heaven, it's this. Listen to me. You know what may bug us when we get to heaven? We didn't live for him like we should have. That'll probably trouble us. In heaven, we will not experience personality conflicts and misunderstandings. We will be loving everybody. We'll be loving everybody, dear. Amen. We will enjoy everybody's presence. Amen. We will be satisfied and content where we are at all the time, and we won't be envious or jealous of anybody else. Amen? This is our hope, and it will be our life for eternity, folks. It won't change. Isn't that something? I know in heaven it says we're not going to get married. But we'll be married to Jesus. Amen. What a relationship that be. How our places and relationships will be, I have no earthly idea. But I know we'll be pleased whatever God has ordained. We're going to be happy. It's going to be out of this world, folks. This world don't offer us all this. This world offers you troubles and trials and heartaches and tears and death and fear. Jesus offers us love and happiness, fulfillment forever with him. Amen. Amen. Will we have our animals when we get to heaven? I don't know. There's going to be animals there because we know there's horses there. There's living creatures there we know about. I mean, God can do anything he wants. Amen? And if he gives me my Mr. Meek back, I'll have a Baptist fit right there. Amen? Will we go fishing or play some sport when we get to heaven? I don't know. Some people think they want to go play golf in heaven. I don't know about that stuff, folks. I think we're going to be so happy to be with the Lord. We're not interested in anything like that. Amen? I have no idea what we'll be doing other than loving the Lord. We're going to be loving the Lord because he'd saved somebody like me. Somebody like me, a sinner, that he would die for? Amen. Folks, I can't understand it to save my life. A holy God would die for sinners? Folks, forget about how good we are. We're not good. He said none of us was good. I mean, he's already told us we weren't any good. And yet he would die for us. You know why? Because he's going to make us like his son. He's going to make us like his son. our lives will be full when we get to heaven, folks. Our lives will be complete. There'll be not anything we'll desire. There won't be a thing we'll desire. We're going to be satisfied. Let me say how now, my brothers and sisters, God is looking out for us now, and He'll be loving us and caring for us for eternity. For eternity. Do y'all ever stop and think about how long eternity is? And there's not going to be a dull moment. You're not going to have an Excedrin headache in heaven, amen? Let me talk about when people need hope. When people need hope. With our sudden vanishing from this world will begin to experience its worst days ever. In Matthew 24, Jesus said in 21 and 22, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Once we leave, this is what's going to happen. This is what's awaiting for the world. You think it's bad now? Hey, listen. "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved," Jesus said. "But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Did you just sense the dark side of the world under the judgment and the wrath of God in those verses? The dark side? Folks, it's going to get so dark when we leave. It's going to be like if you go over there and flip that switch, cut the lights out in this building. You know how dark it gets. That's what's going to happen when we're raptured out. This world is going to suddenly get dark. Dark with despair. Dark without hope. Yeah, that's what's going to be happening. The false prophet and the Antichrist is going to be coming on the scene. The Antichrist is going to be indwelt by Satan himself. You know, last Sunday I preached on demons living in people. The devil is going to take on the personality of the Antichrist. He's going to be fully the devil controlled. And the false prophet, he's going to be demonically controlled as well. They're coming on the scene. Wars and starvation, plagues, persecution, death, terror, because of the rejection of Jesus Christ to save, it'll be everywhere. That's what the world will offer. There'll be billions of people here when we're raptured out, folks. There's about 8 billion people in the world now. There won't be a billion people raptured out, I'll assure you. So there'll be billions of people left here. Yet in all of this, there's going to still be hope for those who are wise enough to cry out to Jesus. Even in the tribulation, with all that's going on, God still offers people hope if you're wise enough to believe. Let's look for a moment at those living during the 7 years of tribulation. There's going to be two witnesses that's going to be coming who will preach the first 3.5 years. There's going to be 144,000 Jewish men from the 12 tribes of Israel preaching for 7 years. And in Revelation 14:6, there's going to be an angel finally that's going to fly through heaven preaching the everlasting gospel. God making sure everybody has a chance to be saved. God don't want anybody to be lost. He's making these provisions even in the tribulation. And all these preaching during the tribulation will cause an untold number of people to be saved. There'll be so many you can't even count them getting saved during the tribulation time. But they'll be starving. They'll be persecuted. They'll be killed. It'll be awful for all those people, because the tribulation time is a time of God's judgment on a Christ-rejecting world. The Bible says in Revelation 7 and 9, after this, John says, I behold, held, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number of all the nations and kindreds and of people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand, and cried with a loud voice, said, salvation to our God who sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb. These are the ones that get saved during the tribulation time. No man could number the number that got saved. So even in the tribulation, there'll be multitudes of people saved because they'll finally believe the gospel. You know what's so interesting, though? If they could have been saved on the other side of the tribulation if they'd accepted Jesus, but they didn't. And now they went into the tribulation, but at least they were saved. Let me close by saying this today. God is a God of hope. This world don't offer hope, folks, but God does. God offers you hope. I know life's hard for you. It's hard on all of us. It may get you harder. But we got to keep trusting the Lord. We got to keep serving the Lord. We got to keep working for the Lord. We got to try to keep getting out the gospel for the Lord, folks. That's why God put us here. We're here for this time. We got to determine, I'm going to keep serving the Lord. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to let the Lord use me. God is a God of hope. God does not want anyone to be lost. No matter how wicked they are, how mean they are, God don't want anybody to be lost. You see, people are just deceived. But God can make a new person out of them if they accept Christ. People today are proud. I'm proud of who I am. Faye and I watched Madeline O'Hara. Y'all know who that is? She was the one that helped get prayer and Bible out of school. Man, what a woman. We saw her being interviewed. You know, she was murdered with her son and I think a granddaughter. All three of them was murdered. She lived to be in her 70s. Boy, she didn't want nobody to tell her anything to do about religion. How deceived that poor woman was. Oh, how deceived that woman was. I think it was in 95 she was killed. You know what? She believes there's a God now, I bet you. She didn't like Billy Graham. She didn't like preachers. She didn't like the church. I bet she'd love to have one more time to come back here, Billy Graham. One more time. Folks, the devil will deceive you out of your soul if you are proud. Think you don't need him. Rebellious. Some want to claim there's no God. We got a lot of that today. And they don't think God should tell them what to do. But I'm telling you one more time, this world doesn't have any hope for you. The only hope you have is in Jesus Christ. There's no other hope for you. It's down to one, Jesus. Or you're going to lose it all. It's either Jesus or you lose it all. Forget about being rich. Forget about being famous. Forget about being important. Instead, think about loving Jesus. Loving Jesus, who died to save your soul. Think about him. Base your life on him. Think about serving him wherever he puts you at. Wherever he puts you at, just serve Jesus there. And think about how wonderful it's going to be when you get home safe and you find yourself one morning in the arms of Jesus, loving you forever because you asked Jesus to be your Savior. And you can put your hope in him and he won't fail. Loving God, thank you for allowing me to stand today to preach Jesus as our hope, to warn our church family there's no hope in this world. This world don't have anything at all to offer. But what's vanity? Solomon discovered that long time ago. He sought everything this world had to offer, and he had to say, it's all vanity. It's all emptiness. But life is rich. You become rich when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're rich now, but we're going to own all things with Jesus forever on that eternal morning when we go to be with the Lord. Bless our church family here, Lord. Put your loving arms around them, Lord. You know their struggles. You know what they're facing. You know what they're going through. You know how hard it is on them, Lord. Lord, just help them to just lean over on you, Lord, on your mighty bosom and find comfort and rest and hope, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Our altar's open. You want to come praise the Lord this morning? You want to come worship the Lord this morning? You want to come just tell him that you love him this morning here at the altar? You want to